First of all, I'm the world's poorest preacher. If I warn you to start with, then you won't have any trouble, you know. But I really am. I'm about the world's worst. But I'd like to read a little bit tonight. If you've got your Bibles, you can open them up with me tonight. We'll see just what the Lord is trying to say. Just kind of use tonight to get acquainted with you a little bit. I'm sorry that I didn't get here early. I had planned to get here earlier. And try to be with you and see what we could, you know, do to encourage you and share what little we've seen and understood with you. But I couldn't get here any earlier. The Lord worked it to where it just seemed like that wasn't the thing for me to do. I had felt that I'd be here toward the end of the week. And of course, that's the way God worked it out. And I'm thankful to be here tonight. I'd like for you to pray for me. A Christian, especially a minister, needs lots of prayer. He needs lots of people praying for him. The devil is out to smite the shepherd that he might scatter the sheep. And he needs all the prayer that he can give. So I ask you to pray for me. Now, you people are not foreign to me. I might be foreign to you. But we have some of the finest friends that we have. Among the black people, we go into the islands over in Grand Cayman and different places, and we have some of the most wonderful friends that love us, and we love them. On this last trip to the island, we were in one of their churches and just had a wonderful time down there. I really missed Brother Frank being on this trip. So we have friends all over the world. The Spanish people, they're also our friends. We have wonderful friends in old Mexico. We have friends in Canada. And God has been exceptionally good to us. So, tonight, you're my friend. And I come here to minister to you. And I trust that I'll be able to say something that might help you. All right. Now, I want to get a little swallow of this water, if you don't mind, before I start ministering here. Can I just take my time tonight and just talk to you a little bit? Can I do that? I see some brothers, Brother Hollis. I wondered where in the world he was. I see some brethren here too when I turned around. I haven't seen Brother Rogers and some of them in a good while. But we're thankful for them. We get mail from them and we're thankful. All right, now let's turn over to the book of Job, brethren, if you will, over to the 38th chapter. I wish I had a month here and could really get into the anointing and into the things of God to tell you just what is going to befall your people in the coming months. I do know. I'm very thankful because God has graciously let me know. I don't know because I'm deserving. I just know because He's kind. Because I've never done anything to merit anything from God. Whatever has happened to me has always been His kindness and goodness toward me. The 38th chapter in the book of Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof? If thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decree, place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shall thou come, but no further. Here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal. And they stand as a garment, and from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depths? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare, if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof. Knowest thou it because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the day of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the life parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, and on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the eyes of the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid with a deep stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Mazareth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinance of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightning, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust groweth into hardness, and the clods cleave fast together, will thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lion? When they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait, who provideth for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wonder for lack of meat. Now let's read the whole chapter here of the book of Joel. And I want to talk with you just a little bit concerning this. Now, God asked Job a lot of questions, didn't he? Job, we can discuss him for just a few minutes here. Job was kind of an unusual person, because Job was a good man. How many believe Job was a good man? Job was a good man. And Job, because he was a good man, it was hard for Job to see any fault within himself. You know, that's the trouble with a lot of people. A lot of people have problems seeing their own faults. Is that right? They have problems doing that. Now, you can see my faults better than you can see your faults. You can see your neighbor's faults better than you can see your faults. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we were able to see our faults better than we could see our neighbor's fault? You know, I think one of the first things that we ought to learn, and that is that God knows, to begin with, that we all races, all people, we and our neighbors together are nothing but a bundle of fault. He knows that. When he created us and put us in the world, the first thing we did was give him trouble. Isn't that right? And man's given trouble ever since. And so then we're just one big bundle of faults. Now then, if we know that each one of us is just a big bundle of faults, then why should we bother to look for each other's faults? Why would it be better if we realize that God has accepted us in our faults and is trying to perfect us from our faults, and has given grace to make allowance for our fault until the day that we can get out of our fault. Now, if the Lord had done all this for us, wouldn't it be wonderful that if I didn't see your faults, you didn't see my faults, and all together we just look at Jesus? Now, if I look at Jesus, I'm not going to see any fault, am I? If you look at Jesus, you're not going to see any fault.
The Bible tells me not to know a man after the flesh. Is that Bible, Brother Holly? Don't know a man after the flesh. That's what the Scripture says. Now, but if you know me after the flesh, you know me as a white man.
Right.
If I know you after the flesh, I know you as a black man.
Right.
If we know the Japanese after the flesh, we know him as a yellow man.
Right.
If we know the Indian after the flesh, we know him as a red man. But if we know them after Christ, we know them as a God man. Is that right? Everybody. Hallelujah. Looking at everybody alike, because who do we belong to begin with? Do you belong to the white man? Does the white man belong to the black man? Does the yellow man belong to the red man? Or do we all belong to God? I made the statement in the past that if I wanted a house and if I built a house, I'd have a right to paint my shutters red.
Yeah.
I'd have a right to paint my walls yellow. And I'd have a right to paint my top black. And I'd have a right to paint the inside of it white if I wanted to. Is that right? So then, if we're God's building and God's house and God built the building, and I think that we ought to be satisfied with the way that God done it, don't you? And quit fussing and fighting and trying to decide what God ought to do with things. I made the statement a lot of times. You know, for many years we fought and we quibbled and we've had what we call people's rights. I mention this ever so often. We're living what's called the Laodicean church age. And everybody, Denise, keeps fussing about the rights.
Right.
Now, the black man wants his rights. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him. Because the white man wants his rights. And I don't blame him. But the Indians feel like everybody's done them wrong and they want their rights. The German folks feel like they've been mistreated and they want their rights. Well, the Chinese people feel like they've been mistreated and they want their rights. The wife feels like she's been mistreated and she wants her rights. Junior feels like he's been mistreated and he wants his rights. Sissy feels the same way. So everybody's complaining about their rights. And doing all of this complaining, they never bother to try to give God his rights. But if everybody would be concerned about God's rights, we'd get along fine with them. If I quit worrying about my rights, you quit worrying about your rights, and they quit worrying about their rights, and all together we'd worry about God's rights, I believe we'd get right. I believe we'd get right. Hallelujah. I believe the earth ought to be one big brotherhood, don't you? I believe that. I believe it ought to be one big brotherhood. I believe that God has made us to be brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe that with all respect. I believe that. And I don't believe that God is a respected person. The Bible said God hath fashioned all men's hearts alike. It doesn't matter whether they're in Africa, whether they're in America, whether they're in Germany, whether they're in Japan, God has fashioned all people's hearts alike. And everything within that heart is crying out for the eternal spirit. It's crying to God. It's begging for mercy. It's asking God to try to help them. Everybody's doing it everywhere. I preach to all kind of men. I preach to the black man, the white man, the yellow man, the red man, and every person that I've ever preached to had the same longing, the same hunger, the same thirst, and all of them are crying out for God. I believe it's unfair, folks, to try to satisfy a spiritual thirst with natural things. I believe that's unfair to God. I believe it's unfair to God. Is that right? If a wife tried to satisfy her desires with some other man, wouldn't that be wrong? If your children went to another man and another woman to find satisfaction, would that be wrong? So then it's wrong for us to turn to the things of the world to satisfy the thirst that belongs to God and the hunger that belongs to God. So what we need to do is turn to God. I feel good. I feel the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I feel that what we need to do is to realize that we're full of fault and God isn't. God began to talk with Job. The miserable confidence come around. You know, you've always got some of them. You just get in a tight and see if you hadn't got some miserable confidence. To tell you how you backslid, if you'd live right, it wouldn't have happened. All the things you know that you've done wrong. You ever heard people talk like that? That's right. But if you ever notice, those same people are not around to help you any. They don't offer you a loaf of bread when you're hungry. You know the person that'll come and give you a helping hand? The same good Samaritan that'll say, don't be discouraged, God still loves you, He'll help you. No time to reprove a man to the harvest when he's down. Don't look on your brother in the day of his calamity when he's having a hard time. That's no time to reprove him. Help him, lift him up. When you get him up, his muscles are rolling, he's strong, going real good, he feels like he's on the mountain. Go there and say, boy, you're backslid. You need to get right with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. But don't bother him while he's down. He needs a helping hand. Job, the miserable commoners came around and began to talk to Job. They really had Job in a fix. Job needed a helping hand. He hadn't bothered anybody. But you know, Job got melancholy. And he began to reason within himself. And he began to feel pretty good, you know. He thought, well, I've not done anything wrong. And he began to tell the miserable commoners what all the good things he'd done, you know. Told him how he helped the poor and helped the widow and everything that he'd done. And by the time Job got through, it made God look pretty bad. You know, by the time some of us get through, it makes God look bad, Brother Hollis. If we have a little problem and we turn around and we begin to say that we didn't do anything wrong and we don't understand why we're having the problem. Job, look at Job. Job's having a hard time and his miserable confidence has done got him upset. And so he keeps trying to defend himself. They say, Job, you're guilty. Job keeps saying, I'm not guilty, but they say you are guilty because look at the condition you're in. I got bread to eat, Job, but you don't have any. I got a good job, but where's yours? My wife is all right, but what about yours? And see, they had Job in a fix. They got him confused and mixed up. And Job just kept on saying, well, God's on my side. God's on my side. And finally he got so disturbed, he said, I'll tell you what, he said, if I could find God and argue with him about it, I'd try to plead my cause to him. I'd just fuss with him about it and say, look here, God. Now you can talk that way when God ain't around, can't you? But you wait till you get off that dark corner somewhere, the angel of God comes in. Amen, I'm down in Florida, and the angel of God came into the room. I didn't feel like arguing with nobody. Amen. All of my arguments left me. Daniel said I was like a dead man. I lay there, couldn't speak, or couldn't do nothing. So God came over and began to make me to where I could do a little something. I couldn't move. It was like it's paradise. And so there I was, like Job. Job, he complained, said, I'd love to know where God lived. I'd go over to his house if I could find out where he lived. I'd tell him about my troubles. I'd say, Lord, why have you put me in this kind of condition? But you know, he just kept on and kept on and kept on. And after a while, God said, Job, you're home.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, Job said his hair stood up on him. He said he couldn't make out what passed before his face. He said, but there's a spirit went by that I couldn't see it plain. But he said, the hair stood up on me. God said, you're home, Job. I want to talk with you. I want to talk with you. I'll tell you what, God will take the starch out of you. He'll take the argument out of you, won't he? He come back and he by and said, Job, you said this to these other fellows. How about telling me? He said, Job, are you more righteous than God? The way you're talking down here to these fellas, it sounds like that I'm the one that's sinning.
That's it.
You tell them that you've not sinned, you've not done anything wrong. And it sounds like I'm the one that's done the wrong. Job, you think you're in this kind of condition because you're good?
No.
You know, God said Job's a perfect man. So then a lot of times when God said we're perfect, we get the feeling that's because we're good. But you know how Job was perfect? The same way I'm perfect tonight. Before the foundation of the world and through the foreknowledge of God, God looked down and saw Job swallowed in the blood. Is that right? Saw him cleaned up. Just like he did Noah. Say he's a perfect man. Amen. You ever seen a son of God that wasn't a perfect man? How many believe that you're sons of God tonight? Let me see. The Bible said, now, beloved, you're the sons of God. I'm not waiting to be a son of God. I'm a son of God tonight. Every son of God's perfect. You know, these people go around and say, oh, they ain't nobody perfect now. You know what they'll do? They'll drink a little booze on the side. Lay with a woman on the side. You say amen on me. Run off with your wife and y'all be chopping cotton somewhere. Amen. I tell you what, I made the statement before. If we had some people back in the field chopping cotton, instead of hanging around on the corner trying to be a pretty boy, our wives would be in better shape. If you get some of the television sets out of your house, I said you get some of them out, so your wife would stop trying to look like a movie star. You get something outside of a TV guy. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, like some of them women that I knew back years ago. Amen. That's right. Go out and poke the wash pot, chop the wood. And when the husband got drunk, they'd give him a poke and he'd wind up on the other side of the bed. I said, they had about as much muscle as he did. Amen. They didn't slap them women around. Some of the men slapped these little puny modern housewives around. But you didn't slap them sisters around much. As big and strong as you was. Amen. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. I don't mean that. I'm not telling you to roll up your sleeves. I'm not saying that. That ain't the way to do it. But I'll tell you right now, there was someone back there that could do it. You love the Lord? God said, Job, you're making it look bad for me. You're making it look bad for me, Job. And God said, I want to ask you some questions. Said, you gird up your loins and you answer me like a man. I said, Job, I want to ask you a few questions. And he began to ask Job some questions. And finally, when he got down to the last one, Job looked up. And Job said, my God, he said, I sin. He said, I sin. I sin. Somebody said, can a perfect man sin, Brother Pike? Job said, I've sinned. God said, he's perfect. Amen. Job didn't feel like he'd done nothing wrong. But when God got through talking to him, he decided to sin. You know where the trouble is? We compare ourselves one with another. Instead of comparing ourselves with God, we compare ourselves with our neighbor. And we say, well, I live better than old sister so-and-so. I live better than old brother so-and-so. And we make comparison with each other. Job kept making comparison with the miserable cowards. He said, I'm a better fella than they are. God said, that ain't the way to do it, Job. Look in the book. See what the book says. Make a comparison with me. And when Job began to compare himself with God, he felt all undone. You know, it's easy to find a weak brother or sister that stumble and fail. You begin to compare yourself with them and you find out you're a great big fella near down in the mire. But I'll tell you what, when God comes along and you begin to look at God, you find out you're the one in the mire. God's up young. Hallelujah. God shook old Job up. Hallelujah. He got him stand up. When he got through with talking to Job, he said, now, Job, what do you think about it? Job said, I'm sinned. I'm a sinner, Lord. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner. Hallelujah. Praise God. What did he do? He took him out of the hog pen. You know this world's a hog pen? How many of you know that? The world's a hog pen. You say, where did you get that? The Bible said the sow go back to the wallow in the mire. Said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Is that right? I thought about something tonight. When old Brother Denny was up here talking, I thought about something. I might not want to say it. I thought about something tonight. I was up here and he said he went down yonder. Went down to Dead Man's Corner. And I think they killed a fellow while he was there, didn't he? I was to show you wasn't playing. It's real Dead Man's Corner. Got down there to Dead Man's Corner and they gave him a ring. gave him a ring. I thought about something tonight. Hallelujah. The Bible said, how many women call this a hot pit here? The Bible said the prodigal son got about the hot pit and he put the ring on his finger and he went back to his father's house. Is that right? God's trying to tell us something. Hallelujah. How do you know that the black man's typical of the Jews? He's the one that went away. Amen. It's right. The prodigal that left God. Some of you black people, you know you left God way back how many years ago when you had to work, push on the rough board, poke the pot, pick cotton for a living, didn't have nothing to eat, call on God for the sweat of your brow. God was with you. God help you. You kept wanting to get like the white man. Finally, he moved over and you got in the hot pen with him. I said, finally, said, if you just want to get in here, nothing to do, you must get in here. Then just come over and I'll water with you. Then when you got in there, what happened? When you got in there, God said, you can go with the stink, but I ain't going with you. You can go with it, but I ain't going with you. Amen. I left the white man when he got in the hog pen, and I'll leave the black man too. Amen. You get in the hog pen, I'll leave you too. But the Bible said one day the prodigal came to his senses. Amen. The Bible ready to fill his belly with a husk that the swine eat. Joshua got all shook up. I'm trying to kill the angel of God. Got all shook up. Amen. Couldn't win the war. Couldn't do nothing. And he began to complain. Began to complain. Oh, God, why did you do this? And God, why did you do that? Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? Oh, God, why did you do this? Why am I in this kind of condition, God? Is that right? God said, Joshua, get up. You are blamed for it. You're the one that's done wrong. He said, there's sin in the camp. Why keep blaming somebody else? He said, you're the blame for it. Get up. Hallelujah. Don't blame nobody for your condition. My friend, this is a personal thing. It's between you and God. Because if I can't send you to hell, I can't take you to heaven. It's up to you as an individual. God just abhors it if you'll get up. Get up. Hallelujah. Get up and do something for God. Praise God. You know what? If that great man, William Branham, if he's right about what he said, that means you got just a little bit over a year. Just a little bit over a year. And all of the stuff that you're fussing over, fighting over, trying to get a hold of, God's going to blow it to bits. Hallelujah. Praise God. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, I believe that the white man's going to rule the world. That's what they say. You're a white man, Brother Pike, don't you believe it? No. No, I don't believe it. Somebody say, well, the Indians going to rule the world. You know they believe that. Not too long ago, one little bitty tribe, I mean a little bitty tribe, over in Canada, got upset with Canada and told them to declare war on them. Why, they didn't even have enough in the tribe to be shoeshine boys to them. But they had courage and said, we'll declare war on them. Amen. We'll take that that belongs to us. They believe they're going to rule the world. Did you know the yellow man believes he's going to rule the world? Did you know the black man believes he's going to rule the world? You didn't know I was going to say that about you too, did you? And amen. Somebody said, we're going to take this thing, Bill Pike. You know, the Japanese say, yeah, we're going to get it. You just watch us. We'll get it. The white man, he said, you just wait. We'll get it. Everybody you know, they think they're going to rule the world. They're going to take the king. But you know what I believe? Come on. You know what I believe? The Bible said the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom, and they shall possess it forever and forever and ever. Hallelujah! That's what I believe. Amen. Gonna be some yellow men. Gonna be some black men. Gonna be some white men. Gonna be some red men. All of them saints of God. All of them sons of God. They're the ones that's gonna rule the world in a brotherhood in the family of God. It's coming. Somebody said, I've been trying to figure out who the giant with so that I can be on the winning side. I just told you who the giant. Used to have a song, you know, coming giant, coming giant. I just told you who the Jonah with. Amen, that's right. In God, there's neither Greek nor Jew, there's neither Negro, there's neither Caucasian, there's neither Indian, there's neither Japanese, there's neither Cherokee, there's neither male nor female. Hallelujah. But we're sons of God, daughters of God. Hallelujah. What's greater? Amen. Somebody said, I'm afraid I'll lose this world. That's the only way to gain it. God's going to give you the world. God's going to give you everything in it. The Bible said the meek shall inherit the earth. Hallelujah. Did you know it's just going to be a little while and this earth will turn into a garden? Did you know that?
Yes.
In a little while it'll be a beautiful garden. And only the saints of God will live on. Only the saints. Hallelujah. God's going to bless the black man. He's going to bless him in the natural. He's going to bless him in the government. He's going to do it pretty quick. I say, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do. That trip down here to Florida, where I saw the vision and the change, God's going to bless him. But folks, let me tell you something. You've got no part in that. I've got no part in that. The black man, the white man, the Indian, whatever rules, I have no part in it. Just like now, the peasants against the white peasant. I don't have any part in it. All he wants is every dollar he can get out of me and you and everybody else. And if you get a black one, it better be the same way. If you get a red one, it better be the same way. If you get a yellow one, it better be the same way. You say, how do you know? Because they got a yellow one over yonder, he's the same way. That's right. They got an Indian leader over yonder, he's the same way. I've been over the islands where the black man is predominant. They got a black leader where I just come from, he's the same way. They don't care for the poor. God cares for the poor. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I tell you the way I believe it. If the white and the black and the red and the yellow can get together and form them some little system and take me and you and make us their slaves, I think what we ought to do is for us to get together. Let the sons of God get together. Amen. When this group of God people get together, then we'll change the government. Then we'll set up the militia. Then we'll be able to do what we want to do. That's what we need to do. We'll love one another. Hallelujah. Love one another. Praise God, I'm over here tonight because I love you. Hallelujah, didn't feel like coming in body because I've been tired, been worn out. But I told Betty, I said, I got to go over there and try to help them people a little bit. I'm here because I want to help you, because I love you. I didn't come for your money. I don't even take personal offerings. You couldn't give me a dollar if you wanted to. I say, but you could. No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't. You say, why? Because it was just yesterday a man tried his best to give me $1,000. I said, no. While I was over the aisles, a man came and laid $100 in my hand and said, no. No. Another man was going to get around it, so he put it in an envelope. Didn't think or know what he was doing. He handed it to me. I started taking it. The Lord spoke to me. I said, no. I said, you got money in an envelope. No. Hallelujah. Another man came to visit with me. He came over and wanted to talk with me. I perceived he had it in mind to give me some money. I told my son, I said, go up there and show him the church. I got some business to take care of. So the man was a little disturbed. I stayed away and didn't get to see him. He come back, sent word by son, said, tell that preacher I wanted to give him $1,000, but he wasn't there. I said, praise God, it worked out right. Hallelujah! I said, what God's got can't be bought. You can't pay money for this. That fellow come up to Peter and him over and said, let me give you a little cash on the side. And you just slip that gift over here to me. Peter said, your heart ain't right with God. You're in the bonds of iniquity and the gall of bitterness, and your heart ain't right with God. Said, you better do some praying, boy. Ask God to forgive you for the thoughts of your heart. Amen. To think the gift of God can be bought with money. I feel God. Amen. This God I got, you can't buy him. He won't be bought off. But I'll tell you what, a contrite and a broken heart, a contrite spirit, why it'll cause him to run all over you. I said he'll make you cut run over. You just get down humble and be a sweet, humble person. Don't have a mean old spirit. Don't go around trying to look important. Just be what you are. He'll come over to your house and he'll stay with you from now on. Hallelujah. We sang that song, this is like heaven to me. I crossed over Jordan to Cadesh Valley, and this is like heaven to me. How do you know what Jordan is? Bible said, don't lean to your own understanding. Say, why, Brother Pike? Because that's where the devil got in the garden and said, man's own understanding. That's why he talks to man's understanding. Talks to man's senses. Talks to man's appetite. Got it all defiled. God said, don't lean to man. I'll give you a new mind. I'll give you the mind of Christ. David said, the pure mind. Stir it up. The God mind. I'll give you a good mind. Said, use it. Is that right? What is the carnal mind? It's enemy to God. To be carnally minded is what? Death. What is Jordan? It's death. How can you get over Jordan? Find out what it is. Find out what it is. Amen. Somebody said, I've been trying to cross Jordan for years. Well, I got the answer. I got the answer. Hallelujah. 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 How many knows there's a continual warfare between that inner and that outer man? Somebody said, well, I thought that was between me and my neighbor, me and my wife. No. That's between you and you. Amen. That's that inner man and outer man. It's that Cain and Abel fighting. And Esau and Jacob fighting with each other. Is that right? And the Bible said, though the outer man die, though he perish, said, get this inner man, I'm going to renew him every day. Is that right? I tell you what, if some of us fed the inner man like we feed the outer man, we'd be a Superman. That's right. If some of us love to see that spiritual man eat the way we like to eat, well, I'll tell you what, he'd be a Superman. You believe it? Amen. That's right. He'd make Paul Addison look like Junior. Yeah, I had a dream the other night. Just Russian. How do you know the Russian beat Paul this time? That Russian came along and beat Paul in that weight lift. How many of you know that? Yeah, he picked up so much weight, it just bent. The pole just bent. Trying to beat Paul, because Paul said he's going to beat him next time. But he beat him. But you know what? After he beat him, I had a night vision where I went along and picked him in the barbells and all of it with one hand. That's right. Amen. I wonder why I had a vision like that. I wonder why I had a vision like that. Somebody said, you don't look that strong to me. I'll tell you, just ain't never seen me good, that's all. You just ain't never seen me good, that's all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking about a son of God with spiritual strength, super God strength. Hallelujah! God's strength! God's strength! Amen! That far exceeds the strength of human beings. Samson didn't have no big muscles. But I'll tell you, when that lion roared against him, he picked him up like he'd been a little kid. Like he'd been a little old lamb. And the Bible said he just tore him apart. God's strength. Is that right? Over there when he got ready to catch them big pillars, reached over around and he couldn't pull them down as a man. His muscles wouldn't do it. But he said, oh God. Oh God. Oh God! And they begin to pull, they begin to crack. They begin to crack. Brother, let me tell you, when you get in trouble, if you'll just say, oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Hallelujah. I told about a meeting we had on the hillside one time. Right out in the open, they brought this woman in the wheelchair. She was a black woman. Had her in the wheelchair, and I began to pray for her. When I began to pray for her, she had her daughter there that had rolled up in the wheelchair. And I told her, I said, you can get out there if you believe. And she began to say, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, she said. And she shifted around, she said, help me, Lord. And she shifted a little more, she said, help me, Lord. And finally, she began to raise up. And she found herself getting up out of that wheelchair. And she said, you done helped me, Lord. I really got tickled at her because her daughter was standing there. And she started prancing around. And she said, daughter said, look at your mother. Just a prancing around like a young girl. You done helped me, Jesus. That's right. You just start saying, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. You know, I'm going to say this to you tonight. I want you to listen real good. There is nothing as powerful as faith. There is nothing as powerful as faith. But you know, the trouble with us is we're always living in that old mind that got messed up in the garden. I don't understand it. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, I'm a Christian and I believe, and I wonder why God don't do anything for me. But I'm going to show you something now. Let's just evaluate things for a few minutes and look at ourselves instead of our neighbor. Let's forget about the faults of our wife for a minute. I know it's good to have a woman so you can blame somebody. But let's just look at it for just a minute now. All day long, what do we do? Do we believe? Do we believe? The Bible said the just shall live by faith. Do we believe? Somebody said, why, sure. I don't ask you. All day long, now here's what's going on in this little computer up here. I wonder what I'm going to do. I wonder how I'm going to pay them bills. Boy, I'm going to have some work. I don't know what I'm going to do. Where am I going to get some bread? My wife, she's about to drive me crazy. I wish the youngers would shut their mouths. All day long, boy, I think I'm going out tonight. But I don't know how to do it with my wife here. Or I don't know how to do it with my husband watching me. All day long. See? That old neighbor has to blame for everything anyway. Oh, I hurt. My. I got to see the doctor. I ought to be in the hospital. Honey, I'm about dead. Now, isn't that faith? Well, I'll tell you what. We don't have any room for faith. All day long we think like that. That's our understanding. That's the devil doing that to us. But listen, why don't we think like this? The pure mind. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. By his stripes I'm healed. God just said the upright would like no good thing. If I delight myself in you, you'll give me the desires of the heart. You would above all things that I prosper and be in health. The young lion might suffer hunger, but I'm going to eat everything that I want. Come on. Lord, you said I'm like a tree that's planted by the water. My leaves won't never wither. God, you said I'd dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My cup would run over. I'm talking about faith now. Faith coming by hearing the word. Is that right? That's the way we're supposed to be thinking, folks. Amen. God, you said you'd supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. And he's got plenty of riches because he paves his streets with gold. Hangs his gates out of pearl, makes his walls out of jasper. Somebody said, didn't you know that the Christ is all? Not in heaven. Not in heaven. Somebody said, but boy, I ain't in heaven. Well, you ought to come on up here. It's a good place to be. Amen. You ought to come on up here. It's a good place to be. Somebody say, you foolish, Brother Pike. You mean to tell me that you're in heaven? I said, well, let me ask you a question. Brother Pike, I want to ask you a question. You tell me whether or not you're in heaven, whether you believe that or not. I want to ask you a question. What did Jesus mean when he talked to Nicodemus? He stood over with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus wanted to know if he was really the Messiah. And he said, Nicodemus, he said, if I've told you about earthly things and you don't understand them, he said, if I start talking about spiritual things or heavenly things, he said, you're not going to understand what I'm saying. But nevertheless, he said some things anyway, didn't he? He said, no man had ever ascended up into heaven. No man.
No man.
No man ever went up there. Is that right? And he said, except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. You'll agree with me. Nicodemus didn't find no fault with him. But when Jesus stood there before him, he looked at him. And Jesus said, and the Son of Man who is in heaven. Nicodemus couldn't get a hold of that. He couldn't figure that out. I thought, now wait a minute, Jesus. I've heard some strange things about you. I didn't believe them too much, but I'm going to believe them now. I've heard some strange things. That's the strangest I've heard. I'm standing here, and you're standing here, and you say you're in heaven.
Yeah.
I might not be as far off as you thought when I said I was in heaven. I said, I might not be as far wrong as you thought I was. I said, it's a good place to be. I'll come with you. The Son of Man who is in heaven. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? What is it? What is it? Have you got time to listen just a minute to it? What is it? Nicodemus, what are you talking about? Jesus, what are you talking about? Here you standing, you talk about being in heaven. When I can reach over and get a hold of your hand, I can feel you and I can see you. And you're talking about being in heaven. What are you talking about? I'll tell you something, folks. Most people have got the wrong idea about heaven. That's where the trouble is. They don't understand heaven. They don't understand heaven. That's where the trouble is. Amen. If we understood heaven, we'd know more about what was going on. That's right. I want to ask you a question. Where is God? Can somebody tell me? Where is God? I said, well, of course God's in heaven. Well, then what did God mean when he said, if two or three of you come together in my name, I'll come down there in the midst of you. Somebody said, but God's in heaven, but he said he'd be in the midst of us. So I said, well, I guess he means he'd leave heaven and come down here. Now, you don't believe that, do you? Since when has God ever left heaven? Amen. I'll tell you what. I'm glad heaven ain't like the earth, because when the president goes skiing a few more times, the world's going to be in such a mess. By the time he gets back to the throne, we won't be able to straighten it out. Amen. So he said he would be in the midst of us. Now I want to ask you a question. The Bible said God hath made us to sit together in heavenly places. Now, is that right? Is that Bible? Any right. Bible scholars say amen or shut up one.
Amen.
All right. Now, see, if my Bible scholars say amen, at least you know it's in the Bible. All right, now. You understand what I'm saying? It says we are sitting together in heavenly places. Heavenly places. All right, I want to ask you something. Where is Humboldt Place? Have you ever sat together in humble places? Somebody tell me, where is humble places? It's in humble places. Now, if we were sitting together in Memphis places, where would we be? If we were sitting together in Kentucky places, where would we be? If we were sitting together in Georgia places, where would we be? If we were sitting together in heavenly places, where would we be? I didn't say that. You said that. Come on, man. Now, see? Now, if you thought I've done, somebody said flip my lid, then what did you do with your lid? Now, you're talking like I am. See? I have been around here about 20 or 30 minutes. Here you are talking like that. See, where are we? Where are we? We are sitting together in heavenly places. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? The Bible said that we are not of this world. Come on there, folks. The Bible said we are not of this world. God has chosen us out of this world. Out of this world. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, if God has taken me out of the world, where am I at? The Bible said we are hid with God. Is that right? We are disciples of the Lord. Is that right? And God is an eternal spirit. Is that right? And we are hid with Christ. Come on then. Where is Christ? Somebody tell me. Where is Christ? Oh, somebody was just over here. He's in heaven. Now you'll agree with that, won't you? The Bible said we are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Come on now. Where are we in? I said the Bible said we're with Christ. And Christ is where?
In heaven.
And where is God?
In heaven.
We are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. How long are we going to stay up there? Said until the restitution or the restoring or the bringing in of the millennium. Come on. How do you believe the millennium is a restoring of everything that was lost in the garden? Until the day of the restitution, of the day of the restoring, of the day of the redemption of the body. We are hid with Christ. In God, whom the heavens have received. Now, do you believe that?
I believe that.
All right, I want to ask you a question. Why is it you keep telling people you're waiting for the rapture? Come on. Why is it you keep telling people you're waiting for the rapture? Somebody said, well, when the rapture comes, I'm just going to take me to heaven. Now, you got me confused. I said, you got me confused. You're going to have to straighten your doctrine out so I'll know how to go along with you. You got me mixed up. You got me mixed up. Now, first of all, somebody said, well, aren't you waiting for the rapture, Brother Pike? I never found that word in the Bible. I said, I never found that word in the Bible. Well, come on then. Somebody said, now, you got me mixed up. I want to ask you a question. Did Paul say to Timothy, preach the word? I said, I never found that word in the Bible. I never found that word in the Bible. Where did that word come from? It's a smart, intellectual application. The tree of knowledge is smart. It knows how to throw you off trail. Is that right? Smart, foxy. You know how a fox will do a dog? Driving crazy. What is it? You know what happens? That preacher's got to cross your trail and cross his trail to where you can't find him, because on Sunday morning you won't get the tithe money if you ever find out where he's at. If you ever wake up to the fact that you're already in heaven, he's going to realize he lost his pocketbook. Hey, come to think of it, I believe it in lost money. You love the Lord? You see what I'm talking about? Let me tell you something. I'm not kidding. I don't care any money anyway. Now, listen. There's no such word as the rapture in the Bible. Then what does the Bible teach, my brother? It said that we are changed from glory to glory. Is that right? This is the power of God in the gospel. Herein is the righteousness of Jesus Christ revealed. From glory to glory. Is that right? From glory to glory, we are changed. Is that right? Because we are preordained to the full stature of Jesus Christ. And because we are, then we are learning in part as the ministry presents it to us, as the Spirit will bring it. according to our age and dispensation. So we are changed from glory to glory, from life to life, from righteousness to righteousness. Somebody said, well, what do we change from righteousness to righteousness for? Because the Bible said, he that knew no sin was made our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, or Christ in God. Is that right? We are to be made his righteousness. Why should we be made his righteousness? Because I'm bone in his bone. I'm flesh in his flesh. Somebody say, Brother Pike, if you're in heaven, you mean you went up there with that body? My brother, the Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Buried with Christ in baptism. Paul said, it's not you that liveth, but Christ that liveth within you. And the life I now live, I live with the Son of God. He said, you're the members of the body of Jesus Christ. Members in particular. You are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Then what are you? The Bible said the last man, Adam, was made of what? A quickening spirit, because it's the spirit that quickens. Life is in the spirit. The first man, Adam, was a living soul. I was born to that first man, Adam. So they crucified me at Calvary. And they placed me in a watery grave. Now I've been born to the second man, Adam. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Is that right? I'm a new creature in Christ. Is that right? I have passed from death unto life. I said, I've already crossed you the Jordan. Then crossed over into the promised land. But God said he was going to separate the sheep from the goats. Amen. This will separate the sheep from the goats. Hallelujah. My daddy used to speak of things that would separate the boys from the men. That's right. Put a few of them on a real good heavy wheel bar. Brother Hollis has been complaining about that. His trip from going down yonder. He said it separate the boys from the men. The sheep from the goat. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They didn't stone Stephen to death for nothing. I said they didn't stone him to death for nothing. Let me tell you something, brother. We've got something. I told you a few minutes ago. I said the family of God needs to get together because they're not going to help you. They're not going to help you. Don't you ever think they're with you. Amen. Judas stayed right along with Jesus. Jesus said friend, and he knew all the time he was Judas. If you don't know Judas, you don't have much discernment. You don't have much discernment. Hallelujah. This thing is real. This thing is real. I saw the devil stared right after coming here. That's right. I wasn't in here but just a few minutes, and I saw it pop up like popcorn. Amen. I said, uh-oh. Won't be long now. The Bible said when Satan was kicked out, he took a third part with him. I said, you can say amen on me. I said, when the devil went out of heaven, he got his number with him. When he went out of heaven, the Bible said he wrapped his tail around the third part of him, and he went out. You've got your eyes open, you can see tonight. Having eyes to see, you see not. Having ears to hear, you hear not. The Lord's on the main line tonight. So I said, tell him what you want. Hallelujah! Praise God. I better get you standing with me before the rest of my congregation leaves. You ain't going nowhere. You know why? You can't. You can't go nowhere. Any place you go, you'd be in heaven. Amen. Somebody said, what are you talking about? I said, that third part went out of heaven. It went out of heaven. Is that right? Somebody said, why did he do that? Because it didn't belong up there to start with. You know what it was? wandering stars, spots and blemishes in our feast of charity. Have an eyes full of adultery that can't cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls, promising them liberty while they themselves are the servants of corruption. Come on. Come on. What is it? Brother, this thing is real. Sharp as a two-edged sword. Cutting asunder even to the dividing of the spirit. Is that right? From the soul and the marrow from the bone. Is that right? You couldn't go nowhere. There's no way. There's no way. You know what? A lot of times you're fishing, you get a nibble. Sometimes you get a good bite, but you still haven't got the fish. But Jesus said, when I make you fishers of men, you'll know how to fish. And I done got the hook in you. Amen. Somebody said, well, the biggest ones got away. They usually do. They usually do. But the biggest ones ain't always the best to eat. I'm not always the best fish to eat. Is that right? I had a vision one night where we'd been fishing. And I looked, and I'll tell you, they had caught all kind of fish. I've never seen such fish in my life. I caught one, he didn't look too good. They was having a blue ribbon show. They come over and look at my fish, and mine didn't look too good. He was kind of out of proportion. He didn't look good at all. But I noticed when the judge gave the blue ribbon, he gave it to my fish. Amen. Amen. My fish won the blue ribbon. So it must have been the best to eat. I believe I got the best catch tonight. You stand with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand with me if you will. God bless your heart. There's a lot of things I'd like to see tonight. Praise the Lord. I love you tonight. Somebody said, Brother Pike, what do you think about it? I'll tell you what I think about it. If they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us, the scripture said. Amen. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest they were never of us. Everybody that got mad tonight, if you got mad, it should be because I called your name. I wonder whose name I called tonight. I called Dennis. Now, if Dennis didn't get mad, nobody else didn't have right to. No, I didn't call anybody's name, did I? You know what it is? The Lord calls the folks' name. That's what it was. The Lord calls the folks' name. Brother, let me tell you something. I love you tonight. I really mean that from my heart. I love you. But many people are going to aspire to your liberties. They're not with you, and they're not for you. They're trying to find out what you're doing so they know how to stop you. That's what it is. Try to apprehend you, cut you off, and turn you down. The Bible said there was false brethren in that day. Paul said false brethren. He said I was in peril of false brethren. They're brethren all right, but they're false brethren. Is that right? You love the Lord and continue on. God hasn't lost any of them. He hasn't lost any. We're down at the finish line now, folks. We're right down at the end of the trail. Brother Branham's right. A little over a year, and he said America would be blown to bits. If he's right, a little over a year. You haven't got time to argue and fuss. You haven't got time to do all those things. You haven't got time to find fault with each other. It's time to love the Lord, to unite yourself together. Let the wicked go on. It don't matter whether they're white or black or yellow or red, let the wicked go on. God don't judge them according to color. He judges them according to the Bible. If they're wicked, let them go their way. If they're good men, you love them because they're your brother. You're going to need them in the end time. When Antichrist sets up out there, he isn't just going to do away with the black man. He isn't just going to do away with the white man. He's going to try to do away with the Christian. Whether he's Japanese or whether he's Caucasian or whether he's Spanish, Mexican or whatever, he's going to try to do away with him. That's the one he's after, the Christian. When God said be born again and said let whosoever will, who did he mean? He meant what he said. let whosoever will.
Amen.
We're his children, now he made us. If he's pleased with us, why should we worry about anybody else? Who are you trying to please anyway? Amen. If I like my little boy, you got no right to complain. He's my little boy. If I like him that way, all right. I ain't got no right to complain about your little boy. If you like him the way he is, that's the way he should be. I didn't marry your wife, and you didn't marry mine. If you like her, that's good. If I like mine, that's good. If God made us to be his children, and he's satisfied, then I got no complaints. You got no complaints. Amen. He's the big boss. And he made it that way, I say it's all right. What do you think about it? I say it's all right. And he made it that way, it's all right.
Hallelujah.
All right, there's a lot of things I'd like to say tonight, and I know I've kept you quite a long time. But I just wanted to talk with you, visit with you a little. Still hoarse, still ain't got my throat straightened out from changing climates. But I wanted to talk with you. I want you to sing a little chorus with me. Don't feel bad if people that won't go along with you. The Bible said the servant abideth not in the house forever. The son abideth forever. And I say this. The bridegroom's got lots of friends. Is that right? Got lots of friends. But that don't make him the bridegroom. The bride, she's got some friends too. But that don't make them the bride. Is that right? They're just friends. Just go ahead and be friends. He said, but I couldn't do it when I know where they live. Jesus looked at Judas and said, friends. Said them friends. Is that right? You love the Lord? I'll tell you what, folks. I'm going to say this in closing tonight. You are saved by faith. Don't forget it. Everything I preach to you, everything I say, the Bible said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened our understanding. Every time the Holy Spirit opens your understanding, you can believe. You're moving to another glory. You're moving to another righteousness. Part of Jesus Christ. Is that right? When he opens your understanding, your faith comes up. If you hear it, faith comes by hearing. Then you understand it, you believe. Then what's happening? For God hath already, not going to do it, for God hath translated us. How do you believe you've been translated? Let me see you. For God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God, the law and the prophets till John. Since that time the kingdom of God has been preached. It suffered violence at the hand of men. Is that right? But we have been translated into it by faith like Enoch. Is that right? Have you been translated into the kingdom of God? Let me see hand. Where is the kingdom of God? Where is it? It's a work of faith. By faith. By faith. How are we going to find ourselves in heaven? We're going to believe our way right into it. We're going to believe our way right into it. Folks have been trying to work their way into it for a long time. They ain't done no good, have they? God cut the Jews off because they tried to work their way into it. It didn't work. Believe. He took the Gentiles and they believed right into it. Is that right? Can I say this right quick? The Bible said, Jesus speaking to the Jews, he said, they will come from the east. He said, they'll come from the west. Speaking to the Gentiles now. That's who he was talking about. He said to the Jews, he said, they're going to come from the east. They're going to come from the west. He said, and they are going to be translated into the kingdom of God. Is that right? He said, but ye yourselves shall be cast out, and thou shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Is that right? He said, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as the end of the brood? He said, but you wouldn't let me. Is that right? But said, your houses be left unto you desolate until ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Is that right? They'll come from the east and the west. Did they do that? Did he take them from the east and the west and take them into the kingdom? Did he take the children of David, King David, and said the children of the king should be cast into outer darkness? Was the Jews cut off out of the mind of God? Have they wandered in darkness all these years? Have they? Have they? Come on, folks. I wish I had time to preach this.
they wandered in darkness. Have they? They wandered in darkness. He said the children of the kingdom. Is that right? You believe that? That's why that you're referred to as the black man. You're typical of a Jew. How do you know that? Father Abraham Lincoln. You thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? The father of the faithful. Is that right? It's a perfect thing if we have time to go into it. But the life in you is as the life in me. And the life in me is as the life in you. Is that right? Is that right? But the Jews had to wander in darkness. Is that right? The black man has to be typical of darkness. The white man has to be typical of light. Why? Because the spiritual Jew, the white man in his type, is God's clock in the day. The natural Jew, which is the black man, is God's clock in the night. You say, where do you get that? Did Jesus have 12 apostles? Or is your daylight church? He said, we're the light of the world. Is that right? You're children of light, not of darkness. Is that right? How many spiritual Jews with us in hand? All right, now. I'm talking about types now. But how do you know that Jacob also had 12 sons? There's your 12 hours of darkness. The Jews, Israel. His name was changed to Israel. Is that right? God's clock in the night. God's got to keep time in the night and time of the day too. Now, you know what happened to me tonight? When I started off from my motel, I stopped to make an apology. I stopped to make an apology to the man I'm renting from because my children kept calling and asking what time it was. The man took my apology, but he said, I think you need a clock. So he gave me a clock. You know where the clock's at? It's out there on the dash of my car. You know why? Because God's got a clock in the night. That's why he let it happen. He said, you need to know what time it is. It's getting late. How many of you know that? Somebody said, I know it is past my bedtime. God's doing something, folks. He's doing something. You are typical as a black man. You are typical of God's clock in the night. You're keeping time for God in the night. In the night. How many know that God records his time from evening till morning? Ever since man fell from the garden, fell out of the light, the Shekinah glory of God, he's been in the mind of the beast. Man's mind, darkness, is that right? Is that right? How do you know man's mind is darkness? That's the beast. God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness to light. Is that right? Why does he call us the light of the world? Because we got the mind of Christ. Why does he call them people out there darkness? Because they got the beast mind. Is that right? They lean to their own understanding. Why does he say from evening until morning? Will you listen just 2 or 3 more words here? The word E-V-E. E-V-E. Until the morning. Is that right? Because Eve started the darkness. Is that right? And he says from Eve until the day star dawns. Is that right? Till daylight comes. From evening until morning. Now, the life that's on the inside of your body, you're called the black man. That life is identical to the yellow man. He also carries a type. The red man also carries a type. The white man also carries a type, and we can't go into the life. But the life in you is identically the same. The blood in your veins is identical to mine. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. The Bible said God has made all nations of one blood. My brother, if you was dying tonight, they could take my blood out and put it in your veins tonight. They could do it tonight. How do you ever give blood? I've given it a number of times. You don't know I might have some of your blood in me anyway. You don't know if you gave some over the hospital. They don't go there and see what race give that blood. They just got blood in the blood bank. I've heard people say, well, because my blood just like this, I'm black. And your blood's like that, and you're white. Where do you ever get that? All blood's alike. God made you one color, made me another color, him another color. Is that right? It ain't got nothing to do with your blood. You understand what I say? But we got the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's the royal blood. That makes us sons and daughters of God. Is that right? Now let me just finish my thought. I'm closing. Listen. From evening till morning. How do you know it's just about morning? How do you know that? How do you know that there come a time when there won't be a red race? There won't be a black race. There won't be a yellow race. There'll be an intermingled race. How do you know that? It'll come. Why? It's not the right thing to do. It won't bring happiness. Because God believes in thoroughbreds. They're worth more. You can register a thoroughbred, but mixed up, you can't register nowhere. But let me tell you, it's going to happen because it is typical of the intermingling where the sons of God come together, every race, creed, and color. And we're going to be one in Him. That will work. The spiritual will work because that's what it is. It's meant to be that way. You follow me? You're God's clock in the night. The Jews wandered in darkness until the day star come. And then they went out of the darkness. Is that right? Is that right? How do you know that they experimented on a black man not too long ago and turned him into a white man? Go. And somebody said, well, I like that. He didn't like it. He told him, he said, it's about being a black man, he's going to sue him for it. So see, you don't know what you want. That's right. You take the black man's hair, it's curly. He wants to get it straight. You take the white man's hair, it's straight. He wants to get it curly. You take the black man, he's black. He'd like to get white. You take the white man, he's white. He'd like to get black. You say, how do you do it? He'll lay on the beach all day long trying to get it something. See, folks, they're never satisfied. They ain't satisfied. A woman, she tries to dress like a man. A man, he tries to dress like a woman. That's right. I saw a man standing on the road the other day. He had a long road going all the way down here like a woman. Act like a woman. The man, he lets his hair grow out like a woman. A woman, she cuts hers off like a man. A woman, she wants to get masculine and tell you to shut up. The man, he wants to go to college and get feminine, you know. Around smoking a cigarette like that. Folks ain't satisfied. Junior and Sissy, they want to be daddy and mama. Is that right? They do. They want to tell you what to do. Mama and daddy, they want to get in short pants, get out, splatter in the water, and be junior. A mixed up place. That shows you, folks, we can't lean down on understanding, don't we? You're great people. You're great people. A black man is a great man, a great woman. Don't you ever think he is. He's a great thing. He's got a great place in God. I wish I had plenty of time to take his place. But it's a wonderful thing. Just don't be prejudiced. Just listen with your hearts open. And it'll make you happy. You'll be a glad people. You're great people in the plan of God. You're not neglected. You're not cast aside. The Jews have wandered around for many years. It looks like they're cast aside. But the Bible said they'll become the head of the nation. They'll become the head of the nation. Every nation will be under their rule. They'll rule with a rod of iron. There's great things that's coming. But you're going to have to remember, you belong to God. We're passing through the land of Esau. And our treasures are in the millennium. You love the Lord?